This is Megan.
And this is Holly.
And this is Yoga in the Dark, a podcast that explores the scientific and esoteric sides of topics such as rise of the divine feminine, imposter syndrome, anxiety, yoga, meditation, etc., grief,
etc., etc.
We have our Patreon website set up now. So if you us and you want to support us, go ahead and go to patreon.com/yogainthedark. We have a couple of different options if you want to become a subscriber. So for $3 a month, you will receive a 10-minute meditation from us. You will get Yoga in the Dark stickers with our logo on it, which are super cool. And the first Sunday of every month, we're going to do a Facebook Live with you. However, that's
once quarantine
for obvious over. Reasons. Yeah, it's going to start after quarantine ends. And then for $5 a month, you get all of those things. And then you also get a Yoga in the Dark journaling pen. So we can be with you when you're journaling your thoughts and
you
feelings.
You can write about all of your feelings with us, with you.
And feelings about us. And then you will also get some exclusive bonus content.
Like all those clips after all those, hours of editing, all the tangents Megan and I go on.
Pretty much just us going on philosophical tangents and also us having laughing fits together.
Yes, those exist, so. Yay, thanks for giving the DL on that, Megs. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good right now.
Yeah, you're okay.
It's like a moment-to-moment basis at this point of the quarantine. Like, some moments I'm feeling really grateful and good and happy and rested because we're not working and stuff. And then the next moment I will be stir crazy or overwhelmed or depressed. So it's a balance. Right now in this moment, I'm pretty good. So.
Yeah. I mean, we've been hanging out for a minute, so I think that's probably
why. You put me in a pretty good mood most of the time.
Can I have my papers back?
Oh, yeah.
Megan stole my papers so that she could do that intro.
Holly takes better notes than I do.
You know, I'm studious.
If we were in high school, I would sit next to you so I could cheat off you.
Totally.
On the history test.
And then we'd have like a fight later on. And I'd be like, you're only friends with me because I get good grades.
And I'd be like, so what?
That's fucked up. Glad we're not in high school.
No, it's okay. You're also just pretty to look at.
Thanks, you too. Mm-hmm. Thanks. What? Wait, no, before I get too caught up in what we're bringing to the table, you said you're feeling fine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I'm such a bitch. How are you today, Holly?
Now.
How the tables have turned. Usually, Holly forgets to ask me how I'm doing. She just talks about herself for a good 10 minutes. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, no, I'm okay. I feel pretty all right. Everything has been, I know I have to think about it now. I'm like, oh, now that I have to think about it. It's snowing here, which for Coloradoans, I think it's a little unbearable come those April and May months whenever we get a bit of snow because we're ready for it to be warm. So it feels okay.
It goes from 75 degrees one day to the next day being a literal blizzard and snowing a foot. And
I planted, 20 degrees. Yeah, I planted some French vanilla, like lavender. French vanilla lavender. It's not French vanilla.
It sounds lovely. French lavender.
You know, it might exist. I don't know. But that's not what I planted. I planted French lavender, not knowing that it was going to get super duper cold. I mean, at this point in time, you can kind of count on it not getting like to 20 degrees. But it's been pretty freaking cold outside. So we'll see if the lavender makes it.
I hope so.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm okay. I've been working on the garden, and this quarantine is all right. The podcast keeps me busy, which I'm very, very, very thankful for. And then around that, my lovely girlfriend bought me an air purifier this week.
Ooh.
And it legit changed the texture of the air in my bedroom.
Yeah, is that what that is?
Yeah. Do you feel it? Maybe they should sponsor us.
Yeah,
I don't even know what it's called.
LaVolt.
LaVolt, sponsor us.
LaVolt, please. I think it's LaVoit.
Sorry. I don't know what the fuck
it is. LaVoit air purifiers, please sponsor us and purify every room in our house.
Yes. I need like three more, please.
We could do some mad-ass pranayama in here, some breath work.
Yeah. Actually, I can't wait to tell you about my topic because it's kind of part of it.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's going to be good.
Should we get into it then? Let's get into it.
I almost said let's crack into it, but that's not really mine.
That's absolutely M's from our favorite podcast. That's why we drank. You should listen to it if you haven't yet. It's great. Very good.
It's also, true crime and paranormal. So we're esoteric scientific. They're true crime and paranormal. Maybe someday we get to meet them.
That would be kind of cool. Stop it. You're getting me way too excited to even read my notes right now.
Okay, well, let's Instagram them. They'll probably never get it, but it'll be fine.
So my topic today, it's something that I've been wanting to talk about for a while. And I'm not sure if you guys have ever heard of Byron Katie, but she is the author of this book called Loving What Is. So it kind of plays pretty well off of my topic I did a couple of episodes ago about santosh, which means contentment. And santosh is acceptance of your environment and acceptance of your life, which brings inner peace and joy. And the book Loving What Is, she guides you through a series of questions to help you to love what is, basically. So you're loving your environment, you're loving your life. And it's kind of teaching us that we create our own suffering, kind of like what Buddhism talks about. Like, right. We create our own suffering. Like, the only reason we're unhappy with our environment is because of the way that we interpret it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she made me do this worksheet, you guys, which I know she'll get to it, but I have to tell you the title of it. And it's titled, Judge Your Neighbor.
Judge Your Neighbor!
So, I am not going to disclose what I did mine about, but I will just say it was a little eye-opening.
And that's the thing, too. On the website, she talks about, like, judge your neighbor. And on it, it actually says, whoever you're doing the work, quote-unquote, the work about, is someone that you're going to be very brutally honest with. Because you're never going to show this to them, right?
Okay.
So you can be as, like, immature as you want to be. So yeah. I'll get
damn,
more into
I was
that.
Too nice on mine then.
Oh, no. You can be brutally honest.
Fuck. I need more. I'm glad you emailed it to me. I'm going to print out. You're going to come over and I'm going to have a whole clipboard. It's going to be my judge your neighbor clipboard.
Yeah. So when you allow yourself to take the time out of your life to do this work, it honestly doesn't take that long. Like, it looks like a lot, but it only takes you a couple of, like, that worksheet took you, what, 2 minutes?
Yeah,
right.
2 minutes.
And it completely turns your thinking around. It really, really works. So when I'm upset about something and I take the time to, like, do these four questions and turn my thinking around, I'm, like, 100% feeling better about the situation.
Yeah.
It completely cheers me up. So whenever I'm unhappy, if I'm mad at someone else for my unhappiness, I do this work and then I'm completely better.
Can you tell the listeners, because I've heard her name and I've heard of her a little bit, but can you tell us, do you know a little background on who Byron Katie is?
So Byron Katie was, and in the book it says she was in a halfway house, which I'm not really sure if they mean like a mental institution when she's talking about that.
Like she broke the law.
Because I feel like, yeah, I feel like a halfway house is where you go after jail, but
like
she never
talked. Byron Katie's a felon.
She never talked about being in jail. So I think when they say halfway house, because she says she checks herself into it. So I think she means kind of like a mental institution, something like that.
Okay.
Because she was so depressed. She was so hateful of her life, herself, and everyone in it. She was so depressed that she didn't think she deserved to sleep on a bed, and she slept on the cement floor with no pillow every night.
Oh, that's kind of brutal.
Yeah. I mean, she was just royally fucked up. And then, like, in the midst of all of this suffering she had day in and day out, she just had this epiphany one day. And, this work just, like, literally came to her. After years of volatile relationships with her husband and her family, she became almost like a loving guru. So friends and family and everyone in her neighborhood and people she didn't even know would start to come to her for help with their problems. Now she's a renowned author, and she leads sold-out workshops all over the world. And she is, like, the most loving human being. Like, you've heard of, like, Amma, right? Like, the mom that, like, hugs everybody.
Yeah.
She's like that. She made a complete 180 shift. So one of my favorite quotes from her book is, no one outside of yourself can ever give you what you're looking for. So she basically talks about how happiness is a choice. And this is a quote from the website, which is thework.com. So if you want to do these worksheets that we're talking about, I highly recommend going to thework.com and printing out some of these worksheets, and then you can write out your issues and do the work, do the four questions. So
that's a killer.
Work.com.
Yeah, that's a killer fucking website.
Oh, yeah, and it's all free.
Work.com.
Totally. And it has a lot of resources. The website says, as we do the work of Byron Katie, not only do we remain alert to our stressful thoughts, the ones that cause all the anger, sadness, and frustration in our world, but we question them. And through that questioning, the thoughts lose their power over us. Great spiritual texts describe the what it means to be free. The work is the how. It shows you exactly how to identify and question any thought that would keep you from that freedom. So I'm just going to get right into the four questions.
Just crack on into it.
Yeah. So on the website, it says, meet your internal wisdom. It's very profound.
Sorry, you said it.
I don't know why, but I feel like I'm like the narrator on Aladdin or something.
What?
Have you seen that movie yet? The new one?
Yeah, with like Will Smith?
Yeah, kind of like the big tiger cave. I feel like I'm him talking. Meet your internal wisdom.
Okay.
Oh, you should cut all that out. Terrible.
Nope. I think that part's going.
Nope.
I get to edit, so.
So the work is meditation. It is a method of inquiry born directly out of Byron Katie's experience. The practice allows you to access the wisdom that always exists within you. So here's the process. First, you notice. You're going to notice who or what is upsetting you right now and why. So recall like a specific situation that triggered you. To begin, relax and be still. Travel in your mind to a specific situation where you were angry, hurt, sad, or disappointed with someone. Witness the situation. Be there now. Notice, name, and feel the emotion you were experiencing at the time. Find the reason you were upset. An example would be, I felt hurt because my partner was mean to me. Next, we're going to write. So capture your stressful thoughts on a judge your neighbor worksheet.
I did it.
Which you can print out at thework.com. Using short, simple sentences. So for this, you stay anchored in the situation. At a specific moment in time, write down your responses to the questions on the worksheet using short, simple sentences. Write the censoring yourself. Allow yourself to be as judgmental, childish, and petty as you were in that moment, in your head at least.
It felt pretty good to do that, actually.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, fuck them.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you write out what you feel, you look at it and you're like, wow, that's really harsh.
Yeah, then you realize how childish you're being.
Yeah, and you're like, wow, I'm actually thinking this about someone that I love, and it's very, very harsh. This is an opportunity to discover the cause of your stress and emotions in that moment. So, for example, my partner should be nicer to me. He doesn't care at all about my feelings. He doesn't listen well, and he's never there for me. He doesn't care about me. Next is we question it. So you isolate one of those thoughts. So I just listed like three. Isolate one, and then you ask the four questions and allow genuine answers to arise. Begin by repeating the original statement and then ask yourself each question. This work is a meditation practice. It's like diving into yourself. Contemplate the questions one at a time. Drop into the depths of yourself, listen, and wait. The answer will meet your question.
Dun, dun, dun.
So for the first one, my partner should be nicer to me. So the first question is it true? My first response is, yeah, he should be nicer to me.
Yeah, he should. See, I'm with you.
And then the next, thank you.
You're
the next question is, can you absolutely know that it's true? So this one can be a little tricky because sometimes I'm like, yes, I do know that. Like, he does need to be nicer to me. But she talks about in the book free will and truth and reality. So you can't absolutely know what someone else needs to do because it's their own free will. And you can't argue with reality. So if they're doing it, you can't say that they shouldn't be doing it, because if they shouldn't be doing it, then it wouldn't be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, you can't argue with reality. If you start arguing with reality, you're going to be wrong every single time.
Right. You can't absolutely know anything's really
exactly.
true except for mm-hmm. within yourself.
Exactly.
Right?
So if it's not you, you can't absolutely know it. So the second question, can you absolutely know that it's true? Usually the answer would be no. He shouldn't do something that he's not because he's not doing it. He should do it because he's doing it, right? That's reality. In the book, she talks about this thing with socks, which was just so funny to me, where she talks about every time she would come in the house, she'd get so mad because her kids and her husband's socks would be strewn out on the floor. Like, they would just take their socks off and just leave them all over the house. And she'd get so mad. Like, my kids need to pick up their damn socks. And she would get livid. She'd get so mad about it. And then she did the work around it and realized, oh, the kids don't care about the socks. I want the socks to be picked up, so I should pick up the socks. And so, and then she, the last part of the questions talks about you turning the statement around so that you would, right. You actually love the situation. And she's like, now I literally enjoy picking my kids' socks up. She's like, I know it sounds so stupid and ridiculous, but I come home and I see my kids' socks on the floor and I giggle and smile at the situation and pick them up and put them away. Like,
right, because she's really the only one that's bothered by the socks.
Yeah, exactly. So another thing she talks about a lot that I love, which you will relate to, Holly, is she talks...
like I was somewhere else for a minute.
She goes, what? Did you say my name?
What? Are we recording?
Focus, focus.
I'm trying.
So she talks a lot about what is your job and what is someone else's job. For example, she might say something like, you want him to be nicer to you because you want to feel good. Making yourself feel good is your job, not his. He can give you love and support on top of it, but you have to make yourself feel good. Mm-hmm. And Holly and I talk about this a lot. We talk about staying in your own lane.
Stay in your own lane. I say that to my girlfriend all the time.
I do too. And that's kind of what she's talking about here. And then she does kind of talk to everyone like they're little kids, which, I don't know, it's endearing. And she calls everyone sweetie and honey, and it's just very sweet. Like,
yeah, we have some learning to do.
What?
Oh, I was saying because we all have learning to do.
Who has?
We all have learning to do.
Like, okay. Who has learning to do?
Just X all that fucking shit out and please continue. I shouldn't have interrupted. No, I'm trying.
You could interrupt. I just couldn't
hear what you were saying. I should not be talking. Please start over.
Okay.
God.
Should I do that part again?
Yes, please.
Okay.
This is going to be the easiest episode to edit.
Great.
Because we finally have figured out our life. Yeah.
I feel like the things we have the most resistance to are what we need to hear, usually.
Pretty much.
Okay. The next question is, how do you react? What happens when you believe that thought? So what emotions arise when you believe that thought? What images of past and future do you see when you believe the thought? How do you treat yourself and others when you believe the thought? For example, for what we were using before, where my partner should be nice to me, the answer would be, I get triggered, angry, and sad. I feel abandoned. I feel like our relationship will never make it if we're not on a team. And this is all just an example, by the way. This isn't like me talking about my life or anything.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You might be talking about my life.
I'm just talking about Holly's life. Yep. Who would you be without the thought? I would be happy and peaceful, and we would have a good relationship. So those are the four questions. And it sounds simple, but you're getting down to the truth, and the truth is a lot more simple than people think a lot of times. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the truth is actually very, very simple. It's when we're caught up in lies and untruths that it gets super complicated. So the next step is to turn it around, turn the thought around. Is the opposite as true as or truer than the original thought? To do the turnarounds, we find the opposites of the original statement on your worksheet. So the original statement was, my partner is mean to me. So my partner is mean to me turns into, I'm mean to me. And I'm mean to my partner.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then my partner should be nicer to me turns into, I should be nicer to me. And I should be nicer to my partner. And when you're doing this work, you'll be pretty surprised with each statement, the truth that rings within your heart. I'm serious. Like, you feel this stuff like in your bones. You're like, oh, that is true. You're like, oh, I'm not being nice to myself. Oh, I'm not being nice to my partner.
Right.
Like, it's me. It's not him. Yeah.
I felt that way. I was wondering why. I mean, I figured you had a reason for making me do this judge
so
your neighbor.
So you understand it. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I came to it, I was like, oh, I need to trust me.
And that's what it does for us. It's very humbling.
It was very humbling.
So I know it probably doesn't sound like a lot just hearing questions outright. You're like, that sounds kind of simple and stupid. But I swear, do this work and it really, really, really works. So he doesn't listen well and he's never there for me turns into, I don't listen well and I'm never there for me. Also, I'm never there for him. And then he doesn't care about me turns into, I don't care about me. I don't care about him. So the moral of this particular story is I need to provide for myself the love and comfort that I need with the tools that I have. And when he sees me treating myself this way, he will treat me this way. So we teach people how to treat us. Also, I need to be nicer to him. How can I expect him to be nice when I'm being mean? Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. So we have to be what we want to attract. If you want love, you have to give love. If you want listening, you have to be a good listener to yourself and to others. If you want kindness, you have to be kind. It sounds too simple to be true for some people, but the truth is very simple, and the truth will set you free. So what comes down to it is you're mad at the thought about the situation, not the actual situation. You're mad at someone for things that you're actually not doing for yourself. So this is just a way to fix that. So the world is a giant mirror reflecting our reality. What we see reflected in someone else is usually our own internal experience. So remember, no one outside of yourself can ever give you what you're looking for. So I highly recommend, if you're interested in doing the work, it really, really works. Go to thework.com and get the worksheets, and you can read more about it there. Also, get the book Loving What Is by Byron Katie. I listened to it on Audible, which I really loved because she has an amazing voice. It's just such like a nurturing, motherly voice. It just feels right. So good to hear these like affirming words from her. And she also goes through a lot of scenarios with people, like live. People will come on the stage and she breaks down the work on stage in front of like an audience with someone. And so hearing how she helps someone break something down and understand it, it was really effective for me to understand how to do the work myself. It really helped me to actually hear the dialogue of it happening. I personally liked listening to it more than reading, but sure. Of course it's up to you. If you'd rather read it, then go ahead. Yeah, that's
go ahead.
That's the four questions and the work by Byron Katie.
That was a lovely topic. Thank you. I really liked it. And you know what else I think is really funny is synergistically, again, I think we just keep bringing to the table very similar, constructive pieces to what we want to discuss each podcast. So I love that you brought forth Byron Katie and her work. I'm bringing forth an individual because primarily I feel like I have been covering a lot of heavy topics the last few episodes.
Just dying.
Yeah, no basically, I'm all grief, right? So I thought it would be really inspiring to bring forth a person who himself has gone through a lot of trauma and pain, and just like Byron Katie did. I mean, I really resonated with what you said, where she was like, whether she was in a halfway house because she's a felon or maybe she was like in a safe house. Maybe it was a safe house. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe. You're all...
I could be remembering wrong. I've been known to do that.
Right? I mean, me too, girl. Me too. So I thought it would be cool to inspire, after bringing forth the last four episodes, we've each brought to the table some really heavy topics, mm-hmm. and also enlightening topics, but to bring forth maybe some ways to move through this quarantine as we're, I think, hopefully at the tail end of it, or maybe we're in the middle of it and we know at least we'll start to taper off and get to a place where we can start to return to some aspects of our normal
life. Hopefully we're not in the beginning of it.
Oh, that would suck ass.
So we're currently, it's been a month. Let's see, 4 weeks in. We're on the fifth week, I believe, of quarantine right now.
It's been a month.
Yeah.
So a month will be, so tomorrow in our world with recording will be March 17th. So today's March 16th. Tomorrow's March 17th.
Today is April.
I'm sorry, April 17th.
I literally keep doing that. Whenever I'm like writing the dates on like meditations I'm teaching or something, I keep writing March. Because we've literally lost an entire month.
A month.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
It's still March in my head.
Yeah.
It's going to be May soon, and I am just going to be so confused.
Basically. basically. So it is April 17th.
Is this what it's like to be in jail?
I think so.
Really? Like, I just lost 2 months of my life and I don't even know what I did the whole time.
You know what I just pictured on my wall? Is, you know, like people, in order to keep track of the days, they just start keeping tallies.
Should we start doing that?
Yeah, I need
we're gonna start
a tally.
Cutting a line in the wall for each day.
Yeah, and my then I'm landlord's just gonna be like, "What the fuck did you do to the wall?"
We're recording. I'm gonna come over one day and move your bed, and there's just gonna be this hole where you're trying to dig out with a spoon, chip away a little bit each day,
like they did with Alcatraz.
I'm almost out,
right? Yeah. Like a plastic spoon, but I'll have to do it with like found objects, like a plastic spoon and like a toothpick.
I'm just going to come in here. You're going to be using your taser. You're going to be tasing the wall. I'm almost out, Megan.
I'm like, you know, the door is right there. Hey, unlock the window, girl. Climb up that shit. For real. Okay.
Tangent. Okay. Tangent. Reeling us back in. We're reeling in back. Come back.
We're doing okay. This guy's super inspiring. His name is Wim Hof, also known as the Iceman. I had asked you about him, and you were like, no, I don't remember. And I was like, sweet, I'm going to help you remember. He is amazing. First off, I'll just give a little background on who he is, and then go into my sources, and then kind of move from there.
Can I just say real quick, when you say the Iceman?
What do you think of?
I just picture just like this guy being an asshole. Like this guy at a bar, and all these girls going up and trying to talk to him, and he's just like icing them out. Like, I'm too cool for you, and just blowing everyone off.
Well, he's had 6 children, so I don't know if that's the case.
That's not true, then.
He's a busy man.
He likes the ladies.
Busy man. No. Okay. Actually, his birthday is about to come up. His birthday is April 20th.
Well, shit. Let's send him a cake.
1959. I don't know if we should send him a cake, but maybe we can see if he has an Instagram and see if he'll give us a shout-out for talking about him.
Yep.
He's going to be 60 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. He was born in Sittard, Netherlands. Mm. Not sure how to say that, so
I think you did good.
Forgive me. So, my sources are YouTube, Team Fearless put out an episode titled Anyone Can Do It. Wim Hof explains the crazy power of the human mind, deep breathing, and cold showers.
Yikes.
Yeah, I know. The next source is season 1, episode 2 of Goop Lab with Gwyneth Paltrow.
I did watch that, actually.
It's so fucking
good. I know Goop Lab is, like, kind of controversial between different people, but I liked that show.
Who is it controversial with?
Oh, I don't know if I should talk shit about them on on the air.
You don't have to say their name.
No, I mean
we're
the show.
In a circle,
you know,
of trust.
I guess some people I've heard that they, I don't know, I don't remember. I've just heard like some people don't like that show. Some people don't like Gwyneth Paltrow and the way she conducts business. They think it's like there's some inequality in there and stuff. But I don't have anything to back that up though. So
okay, cool.
I've just heard different opinions. I've either heard people who love the show or they won't watch it because they're against it. But from what I've heard, everyone that has watched it loved it. I personally loved the show. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only like 3 episodes in, and I just appreciated the content. So I'm not sure of Gwyneth Paltrow's procedures or her background. Maybe I should check into that.
Yeah, and if she's doing some shady shit, I don't at all support that. But
I'll fucking write a letter.
I honestly did.
You know, Holly is write my fucking senator. Mm-hmm. I will Instagram message anyone you want me to. You know, if Gwyneth is fucking up, I'm not afraid to call her out.
I mean, she talks about microdosing and using psilocybin, like I talked about on the last podcast. So they do delve into that. They delve into, like, mushroom journeys and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I appreciated this episode, too, because it's called Cold Comfort, and they bring Wim Hof on there, and part of the Goop Lab staff goes on to a retreat with him, and they learn the Wim Hof method. I got really thrown off just now by
flipping
me off with your red fingernail.
We've been painting our nails.
Yeah.
And I decided to flip Holly off while she was talking.
It's fucked up.
I saw that episode and I really liked it. It made me want to go jump into a fucking ice lake.
Yeah, I went to my garage today and I did some breath work in the garage. So then the third and final piece of resources that I collaborated and whatever. That sounds really uneducated. Hold on. Let me go back.
Let's go back and redo that with a little less champagne.
Can we start over the whole episode, please?
Can we pump our stomachs and start over? Oh, speaking of, I'm going to grab some wine.
Okay, please do.
So I just have to tell you real quick. So backstory, I just ran out of the room to grab something and I completely just ran into the doorway, which reminded me yesterday. So my son, he's 1.5 and he has a black eye right now because he, during the quarantine, has literally started climbing the walls. And when I say that, I mean like he's literally trying to climb the walls and anything on the walls, like all the shelves, anything in our house, he tries to climb because he's just so bored. He just can't. He's trying to climb out of the house. And so he was climbing on a table the other day and he fell and he hit his face and he now has a black eye. And so my friend had to pick something up yesterday. And so she was just going to like stop by and I wasn't even going to see her. She was just going to grab it. But I happened to be out with on a walk with my son. And then we're walking back towards the house and he kept trying to run into the middle of Evans Avenue, which is like a busy street here. Yeah. So I eventually had to just pick him up and carry him kicking and screaming home. And he was wearing like this snowsuit. So it was like very slippery. So I'm trying to like carry him and I had to carry him with one arm because in the other arm I had to use to pull his little car that he sits on and pushes himself around the neighborhood with. Mm-hmm. And I brought the dog leash and tied it around the car so I could drag it behind me. So I'm walking, I'm carrying him in one arm, slipping and falling. I'm going to have to like keep like, you know, thrusting him up with my hip to make sure he doesn't fall. And then I'm pulling behind me this car on a leash, which has actually turned sideways. So instead of rolling it, I'm just dragging it. And it's just making this obnoxiously loud sound. And right then, my friend shows up to pick up the thing that she needed to get from me. Uh-huh. And I'm walking up to my house, and she's just looking at me, like, laughing. And I get to her, and my son has a black eye. She's just like, what's happening? And I go, so this is how our day is going. How's your day going?
Right. So I could just hear you coming from like half a block away, like the dragging of the car.
And the baby and crying baby. And screaming and kicking. Okay, so then I set him down so he can run in the house.
Yeah.
And right while I'm describing to her how he got his black eye, he takes off running, and instead of running through the door, he runs into the doorway with the other eye that's not yet blackened and bounces off of it and starts bawling and screaming. She's
like, he has two black eyes now?
The other one isn't quite a black eye yet, but it's definitely like very like tender and red and yeah. So
boo-boo, boo-boo.
So that's how my quarantine is going.
This is why we're doing this podcast, because even when it feels like a little bit of a stretch, we still get to bring some of these stories to the table.
Yeah. Hopefully someone gets some joy out of it, because it's very hard being the mother of a toddler. And if you've ever had a toddler, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And he's going through a phase right now where he just tends to throw himself on the floor and have tantrums every few minutes the last few days. And I think it's stir crazy. I'm not quite sure, but if anyone has any advice on how to entertain a toddler during quarantine, I would love your feedback.
Email Megan.
Please email us. Please help.
yogainthedark@gmail.com.
No, we're doing fine. If you have experience with this is my first time being a mommy, so help me, I'm poor.
Help me, I'm poor. Okay. The last source is the National Center for Biotechnology Information and the National Institute of Health did a research study or a clinical study that was titled Voluntary Activation of the Sympathetic Nervous System and Attenuation of the Innate Immune Response in Humans. I'm going to go ahead and in the episode notes, I'll put any of these resource links the best to my ability, because this one's pretty fucking cool. It's an article, it's an abstract, and I will get into the study a little bit because I thought it was pretty fucking awesome. A couple of the world records that he holds are: he ran a half marathon barefoot above the Arctic Circle.
Shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm. He submerged himself for 2 hours in ice and didn't develop hypothermia.
What?
He also climbed Mount Everest wearing only shorts.
What?
Yeah. he did this.
No.
Yes. This is also, this was what I thought was really fucking cool. He swam underneath a piece of ice that was nearly the length of a football field with a single breath.
What?
Yes. He has tapped into the power of breath. He has also gained the ability to raise his core body temperature while submerged in ice, which is how he was able to stay in ice and didn't develop hypothermia.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know why, but I thought that this is funny. I put it in my notes. I said, Megan, have you done anything that cool? Because I haven't.
I love how you're doing your Superman pose, yeah, as you Superman. Asked me. Megan, have you ever been that cool?
Hands on hips, because I haven't.
You know, that reminds me of my partner and I like to go to Strawberry Hot Springs, which is by Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Yeah.
And it's like a very natural hot springs in the middle of the forest. And we usually go when everything is covered in snow. And my partner, Matt, he loves to just go from the hot spring pool and then jump right into the river. Because the river is right next to the hot springs where they are. And so in the middle of winter, the river, obviously, it's melted ice. And then it's covered in snow and ice. And Matt will... Are you okay?
Oh, my God. Can you keep going?
I'm You're so a hot sorry. Mess. You are a hot mess today. Really? You are the hottest mess I've ever seen.
I missed my mouth.
I love you.
So wait. So he jumps in the river.
Yeah, so we'll be sitting in the hot springs, like, chilling with all the people, and then he'll just be like, I think it's time.
I'm like, he says that?
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, just do it. And he won't. Like, some people will dip from the hot springs into the river and then get back out real quick. Like, it's kind of a refreshing little cool-off, because when you're in the hot springs for hours, you get really hot.
Yeah, totally.
Matt will jump into the river and swim around for, like, 20 or 30 minutes in ice water in the middle of winter in the woods.
Incredibly smart.
Yeah.
It's incredibly smart. I mean, he and Wim Hof, maybe they're related.
Honestly, I think that they are. I think Matt is a natural at this kind of stuff. So I'm interested to hear in what else you're going to tell me. So please do.
Yeah. Well, I found some neat things about him. I know that he was on that Goop Lab, which you had seen. And I was really thankful that you'd kind of forgotten when I was like, do you know who Wim Hof is? And you were like, no. And I was like,
I'm so bad with names.
Good. Well, I know that you remember him. But at the same time, I did a little additional research. Because I wanted to prove that he was as awesome as he really is claiming himself to be, and from what I'm finding. And then I wrote, here I thought me curing my asthma for the last 6 years was something worth writing home about.
Holly, you're a superwoman in my books.
Thank you. Hands on hips.
Yep.
So Wim Hof says, the power to adapt to a stressor in general. We've lost this connection because we were comfortable all the time and we live in this comfort zone of behavior. We think that we can control nature, but by being non-stimulative in our behavior, we've lost a connection in the depths of our physiology. He says, we are able to adapt to anything. We are built to be able to adapt without stress into any stressful situation and get a solution. The body knows. But because we got into this comfort zone behavior hundreds of years ago, our genetics have changed. Our physiology has changed. Everything has changed. And we lost the full power of the mind. And he claims that he's here to bring it back.
Ain't that the fucking truth? You know, that reminds me of on The Office when Daryl is talking...
Sorry. I love that everything goes back to The Office.
I know. Everything does, though. When Daryl is talking to Michael Scott, because Daryl, he works in the warehouse, and Michael Scott, he works, like, up in the office, and he tells him, you live a cushy Nerf life, sitting on your biscuit, never willing to risk it.
That's me. So, from Goop Lab, whether people like Gwyneth Paltrow or not, I really don't give a fuck. It's so funny. My girlfriends, and I see you laughing over there because of the conversation we had.
It's like the way you say Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow. You know, so it's so funny because even my girlfriend was like, yeah, I told so-and-so about Goop Lab, and they were like, fuck Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm not listening to anything that she puts out. And I was like, you know what, though? She's really putting... forth a lot of cool things. I mean, she has an episode, like you said, that they get on the whole psilocybin train and they actually go to Jamaica and they have a mushroom ceremony. And some of her employees or people who work with her had these profound spiritual experiences and they came back to that. I wanted out of all of this, I was like, I want to fucking work for Gwyneth Paltrow. Fuck what her fucking policies are on other shit. I just want to come and work and send me to Jamaica for a mushroom ceremony.
Hell yeah.
Why not? You know, send me to go work with Wim Hof. I'll fucking work with him.
It's very cool that she's willing to explore all these alternative methods of spirituality.
Yeah.
My thing too was like, oh, she's going to send all her employees to do a mushroom journey, but she's not going to do it. Yeah. That was kind of one thing where I was like, why don't you just do it yourself?
She did admit that with her husband at the time was her boyfriend who offered her ecstasy or MDMA and that she took it and she said she had a profound experience.
Well,
so.
Duh. Sorry, so, drugs are bad.
I know, right? Well, so in his discussion with her, they showed a clinical 2011 study at Radboud University in the Netherlands, where he defied the reaction to bacteria injected in him. He also maintained his body temperature while submerged in freezing water, and he actually increased his body temperature.
Yeah. Teach me. Oh my gosh.
I'm serious. I'm like, teach me your fucking ways. Let's go. I want to go. You want to?
I'm so down.
I ordered the Audible book because I want to be a person who walks the talk, right? And then anything that I bring to the table, I want to be able to say, I've tried this.
Have you tried the cold showers yet?
I have done the cold showers before, but I need to do that already. And since it's been snowing, what I have decided to do...
Go jump in the snow right now.
Ready? I'm serious. I want to go do some breath work in the snow. And then also what I did do is I went into my garage and I did do some yoga in my garage. And it's about 30 degrees in there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I've been trying.
You're kind of a badass bitch.
Thank you. So something that he has said, I love quoting him because he has this understanding of different languages. So I feel like he really pulls some of the really concise parts of the English language to explain his point of view and his methodology. So he says, we have found natural ways to get people back in control over their own mood and to influence their inflammation, which is disease. So he has based his method on three pillars. The first is breathing techniques. The second is gradual cold exposure. And the third is mindset. I thought that those were fucking great. What made me really like him was... he was asked on Goop Lab, why do you think you were the chosen person to bring this to the people? And he really softened because I've watched a few different episodes or YouTube videos on him, and he really opened up in Goop Lab. So he had a wife that he was madly in love with. They had already had four children together, and she had anxiety, trauma, fear, and depression. She had tried everything from pills, psychiatric care, medicines, I mean, basically anything that she could get her hands on. As far as Western medicine goes, or as far as just medicine goes, I think, in general. But she only got worse. In 1995, she kissed their kids goodbye and jumped from their 8-story building.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Super sad. In the episode, he gets incredibly emotional, and you can see that he is incredibly impacted by this. And
well, duh.
Right. And so he says, a beautiful woman jumps from 8 stories. I was left with 4 children with very little money, heartbroken. But that's where the soul search began. I always say that my children made me survive, but the cold water healed me. And in the nature is where the mind becomes strong. I learned about the stillness within. And I began to see that the function I bring is to millions of people who are dealing with inflammation, anxiety, depression, and fear. Anything. Isn't that beautiful?
Wow, that's profound.
That's what I thought. And he gets incredibly emotional, and it really, you know, being an empathic person, I could feel that. I actually got really tearful when I'm hearing this story, and you can see that it impacted him so greatly. And I can't imagine what it would have been like to be now with a single parent with four children and your wife just committed suicide. So that's incredible. So that's, I really think that he took his adversity, he took the things that happened, and he used it now for good.
Well, and how brave of him, instead right. of hiding from the situation, to find a solution.
Right, exactly. So interestingly, from the clinical 2011 study where he was injected with bacteria, there was a subsequent study, and that was the study that I mentioned as one of my sources. This was developed and conducted in 2014. Here's what I found to be fucking awesome. So the subjects in the intervention group were trained for 10 days in the Wim Hof method. Basically, it was 10 days in meditation, which is third eye meditation, breathing techniques, which he calls cyclic hyperventilation, followed by breath retention, and exposure to cold, which is immersions in ice, cold water. The wow. control, right? Yikes. So the controlled group was not trained at all in anything. So all subjects underwent experimental endotoxemia, which means they were given an IV administration of E. coli.
Whoa.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you're just submitting to that? You're like, sure. I wonder what they got paid. They better have fucking gotten paid. Right? Like, what happens if they're like, well, sorry, you have E. coli now.
Oh my gosh. Because you know how they had to sign a waiver.
Right? And the reason why they did this is that we have learned, especially with this coronavirus and everything that's occurring, is that the innate immune system is crucial to our survival. That's the immune system in our DNA that we are born with. It's actually in the DNA and in the RNA of the cell, of basically the mitochondria and the the Golgi apparatus. It's the Golgi apparatus and the mitochondria, and they interact with each other. It's where like RNA and DNA is stored in the cell, in the actual anatomy of the cell.
I love it when you talk science to me.
I know, it turns you on. We're good. But what they have found is that excessive or persistent pro-inflammatory cytokine, which is a particular enzyme or hormone that's produced in the body, when that is up in its production, it can result in tissue damage and organ injury, such as autoimmune diseases. For example, I have asthma, and I've had asthma since I was 14. I healed it. I healed it with my own form of breath work, which will be for another episode. But this is why Wim Hof caught my attention.
Wow. This is why Holly is a badass. Also,
this is why,
by the way, she really is. Badass.
Not really. So, no, moving on. So what they found is biological therapies that antagonize pro-inflammatory cytokines or their receptors are very effective. However, these drugs are expensive and have serious side effects, which includes asthma. Therefore,
that's crazy.
I know. Seriously, I have paid so much money for all the different asthma medications, which is why I wanted to talk about this person and also really give the lowdown on my own experience around that.
It's like when you get an antidepressant and one of the side effects is depression and suicidal right? thoughts and behavior. It's like, what? Isn't that what I'm treating?
Yeah. Like, for example, when you read the side effects of all of the asthma medications that I have taken over the years, a common side effect is increased breathing issues. I've always been so confused by that. I'm like, why would you administer a medication when one of the number one side effects is breathing issues?
It's like, if you were misdiagnosed and you don't actually have asthma and they gave you this medication, now you for sure have asthma.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. You paid $50 for that.
One day I'm going to do a whole episode of just reading medications and their side effects. I'm serious. Just to show you how ridiculous it is.
Maybe our listeners can tell us some of the medications they've taken and then we can read the side effects of their medications. What the fuck did I just say?
Medications.
Can you write in and tell us your ridiculous medication experiences,
please? Because I've had plenty. How about you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly what we're talking about. It causes what it is treating. And so please write us at yogainthedarkpodcast@gmail.com.
Nope.
You can write us at yogainthedark@gmail.com.
That's the one.
So what they concluded was, therefore, innovative therapies aimed at limiting inflammatory cytokine production in a more physiological manner are warranted. So the significance stated by the National Center for Biotechnology Information was that both the autonomic nervous system and innate immune system were regarded as systems that cannot be influenced voluntarily. The present study demonstrates that through practicing techniques learned in a short-term training program, the sympathetic nervous system and immune system can indeed be voluntarily influenced. Healthy volunteers practiced learning techniques exhibited profound increases in the release of epinephrine, which in turn led to increased production of anti-inflammatory mediators and subsequent dampening of the pro-inflammatory cytokine response elicited by intravenous administration of bacterial endotoxin, or in this case, E. coli. This study could have important implications for the treatment of a variety of conditions associated with excessive or persistent inflammation, especially autoimmune diseases, in which therapies that antagonize pro-inflammatory cytokines have shown great benefits. So I'm just going to put it in layman's terms.
Please
for all
do.
Of us. I know, there was a lot. That was a really heady and wordy, but I really liked it. So basically, here's the layman's term. When we continue to produce inflammatory enzymes and hormones like cytokines, we continue to have inflammation in the body. And previously, they thought that we could not influence the autonomic and the innate immune systems. But what Wim Hof has proven repeatedly, again and again, is that we can totally influence these systems. I found that out when I decided 6 years ago that as I was walking out of Kaiser that I hated all of these medications, that I was going to try something different. And I went and I got a mentorship with a teacher of ours in the community. She teaches at Karma Yoga. Her name is Asiana. She's amazing.
Oh, shout out Asiana. We love you.
We love you. So she...
That's Michael Jackson.
I try to. Woo, hoo, hoo. I don't know. We'll cut that out. It'll be fine.
Don't cut it out.
Okay, I probably won't. So Asiana was able to mentor me in a breathwork that I want to bring to another episode, but it was called the Four Purifications. And what I really liked about the Wim Hof method is that it really does mirror a lot of the Four Purifications around breath retention, its mindset, it's around building resiliency, tenacity, and all of those things. So what they ended up coming to the conclusion was that they were able to demonstrate that we can actually influence the sympathetic nervous system, which results in specific enzyme and hormone release, which suppresses the immune response to stress. The results could have important implications for the treatment of conditions like asthma, like persistent inflammation, any of those diseases that are really what they call incurable. So it's pretty fucking
awesome. Amazing.
Right? I wanted to add this on, and it looks like we have the time, and I'm really proud of us because this isn't going to be a two-hour podcast. Woo, woo, woo. So here's some cool facts about Wim Hof that I found and just wanted to share. So Wim learned to speak 10 languages without using Duolingo once. Wow. 10 languages. 10. 10. This guy must be a fucking genius. Pretty much. I don't know if his wife dying and him having to like figure out how to do this with four kids, and he was just like a very sympathetic and, you know, vulnerable kind of man that just really strengthened him. And he just sounds like a fucking genius to me.
I'm telling you, I feel like when people have been through the ringer, sometimes they can come out on the other side of spirituality. And kind of like Byron Katie, how she went into the depths of depression. Right. And then in turn, she found that same alternating level of happiness.
Right. And well, and then look at what she's done with her life.
Exactly.
She has a tremendous amount of people who want to listen to her. She's a presenter now. She was able to take that struggle and strife and turn it into something that really counted.
I think Wim Hof and Byron Katie both probably do the Superman pose every morning for at least 5 minutes.
I mean, I'm going to start doing it in the cold, apparently.
Maybe in an ice lake.
Yeah. I mean, it's starting to get warm here in Colorado, but maybe it'll snow for another day. And I swear, I'm actually going out and doing yoga in my garage now. And
kind of, you were like, going to say you're doing yoga in the snow.
I want to do snowga.
Let's do snowga.
Snowga.
I am so, if you want to embark on this journey, I will do it with you.
Okay. Well, I think we should. And I think we should report back for episode 6.
So do you
6.
Like put on a bikini and do yoga in the snow? Or
I mean, basically
what does that look
anything.
Like?
Okay. Do I need to wear a bikini?
Are you talking about doing it naked? I'm down.
Oh, I was like, I mean, what if I wore a one-piece swimming suit?
No, that's fine. Of course. I don't discriminate against swimming suits.
Yeah. One-pieces are just as good as two-pieces, Mix.
I totally agree. And you're not talking about like a full-blown snowsuit and snow boots.
No. It's like I'm talking about like your bare skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, bare skin to the elements.
Totally.
That shit's intense.
I mean, if you can teach me how to not get frostbite, I will do it.
Yeah, I'm going to start watching some videos, so I kind of want to report back with the next episode.
Yeah. And on that note, can you give the listeners maybe something they can try at home to start practicing these methods, or maybe some breath work that they can do at home?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I want to do that at the end.
Sorry if I jumped the gun.
You did, but okay. It's okay. Next, he was willing to get injected with malaria for science.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's challenged like all of these concepts that these scientists have come forward. And he was like, no, we have some untapped powers. And so he has just challenged it. But he's willing to work with scientists in such a way. He is a fucking weirdo and absolutely brilliant at the same time.
Weirdos are my people.
They really are, right? Also, Wim can hold his breath for about 10 minutes.
Wow. What? Is that if someone plugs his nose, though? Like, you know what I mean? Like on Friends when Joey, he's like, I can hold my breath for 10 minutes. And then he's doing it for Rachel and Monica. And they're like, wow. And then Ross walks in and he just like plugs Joey's nose. Then he's like,
and he can't breathe. Hold his breath. No, I actually think that he really can't. I mean, he has, what, 26 Guinness World Records?
I guess
that means he actually had to prove it.
I guess you can't fake a Guinness World Record.
Yeah, this isn't on a Friends episode. This is real deal.
This is real life.
It's a real fucking life. I thought this was cool. He is an advanced yogi.
Advanced?
Advanced. He's an advanced yogi.
That actually doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't it? Right? No. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all either. When I saw that, he has done some pretty interesting things. So he'll go in like to these really cold ass environments and do these incredibly advanced yoga poses. He's been a practicing yogi for many, many, many
years.
Does
he have an Instagram page? Because I want to follow it.
Fuck, I don't know, but I'm going to find out. And we will put it
in
the notes.
He has a Snoga Instagram page.
That would be fucking awesome. Okay, here's something that you okay, this one's fucking funny. Okay, so Wim had to have surgery because he gave himself an enema with a fountain jet.
What?
Yep, that cut through his intestines like a knife.
What is happening right now?
I'm not claiming that just because he's brilliant and incredibly weird that he doesn't do some stupid shit.
Are you saying he, like, put his butt up to a hot tub jet?
I don't know that that's considered
a fountain
jet.
That's what I'm picturing. I'm sorry if that's graphic.
No. I think that whatever he did was, it was so intense that it ended up cutting through him. And they had no idea the extent to his injury until he, like, collapsed in the emergency room.
And why are you telling me this?
Because he was able to recover without taking any antibiotics.
What?
Because he cut through his intestines, meaning he could have died from septic shock.
Jeez.
Yeah. Okay. Gets even better. He ran a full marathon without training or water.
in a desert.
What?
Yep. And then he rehydrated with a beer.
Stop it. No, this isn't real.
I'm going to rehydrate with this wine right now. Okay, you're going to appreciate this part, and this has to go with, I want to say the divine feminine, but I also say just with anything. I read a little blurb where it said, Wim can control his erections at will. He was like, I was in the cold, and this young lady tried to advance on me, and when I am in my yoga, I am focused.
So wait, you're like doing yoga in a blizzard? And you're saying that you have control over your boner and that you're not just fucking freezing and your penis is attracted into yourself. I'm like, oh, bullshit on that.
Who fucking knows? Let's test this out. Let's test it out
with our penises.
With our snoga. Hey, you talked about the divine feminine, and that technically means our clits, our clitorises, our clitori.
Our clitori.
Our clitori are like little penises.
It is true.
I know.
It is true.
I know. That's why I'm telling you. Let's test this out.
Okay.
Let's see if Wim knows what the fuck he's talking about.
So we're going to go do yoga in the snow. And then can we have a hot person volunteer to come walk by and try to tempt us while we're doing snoga?
I think we need our partner's consent first.
Okay. You guys, consent matters.
Consent matters. So, okay, last one. He's eaten just one meal a day for the last 38 years.
Like a Thanksgiving-sized meal or like a...
No one really knows. I mean, I have not interviewed him personally. Those were just found. I found those. It was like 10 facts you didn't know about Wim Hof. And I just thought they would be kind of fun to add in.
No, those were interesting facts. Thank you.
Thank you. I... love. Okay, wait, what did you ask me earlier? You said something about...
Yeah. So, is there a way that people can start to incorporate these techniques into their life? Like, is there some kind of cold therapy we can do every day or some kind of breath work we can practice?
Absolutely. For me, a couple of things. The breath work was always a really big deal with my asthma. I learned that the four purifications was an incredible way to start. You'll have to start small. It includes, obviously, four specific breathwork techniques that were developed and designed by the yogis and the sages back in the day that increased your digestive fire, that equalized the hemispheres of the brain, also squeezed and toned the lower lobes of the lungs, and then also helped increase the amount of strength that we carry in our lower intestines all the way to our anus.
Interesting.
Yeah. The last one of the four purifications is called Ashvini Mudra, which is a breath retention. You breathe in, you hold the breath, and then you actually activate the sphincter muscles as well as tucking the tailbone. So it's an activation of what the yogis would call Mula Bandha. But in addition to that, you're also activating the entire tailbone and any of the pelvic floor. So it increases the potentiality of someone not ending up having like weak pelvic floor muscles or weak abdominal muscles later on in life.
That's interesting because you hear so much about like people who have had babies or people who are getting older and they have like prolapsed bladders or uteruses.
Oh, absolutely.
And stuff like that. So this sounds like it could treat that. And I think it's really valid to bring up talking about Mula Bandha and these kind of practices that talk about the anus. Because
anus.
It's very, I mean, it's taboo to talk about this kind of stuff.
It is
in our culture. It really is. But when you look back on the traditional yogic practices, a lot of the energetic importance resides in the root, which oftentimes includes the genitals and the anus. And when I studied yoga in India, they actually, when they went through yoga practice, they talked constantly about activating and like tensing and releasing the genitals and the anus.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they told us in the training, like when you go back to America, you might have to edit this part out because you will actually like turn people away. People will be very turned off.
People struggle with this.
It's like talking about the quote unquote no-no parts when we're little kids, and it's silly because we're adults. We can talk about the anus. It's okay. It's a reality. It's a part of life.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. If we as adults cannot talk about our anus, you know, as we fucking laugh like we're 12-year-old boys. Yes.
It's our culture. I'm just
immature
about it because that's what I've been told to be.
It's developed that immaturity, right? Mm-hmm. We've developed that immaturity because we really have not been able to access. And that's part of what Wim Hof is explaining is that we are cut off from the adaptability of the human experience.
Totally.
We are cut off from our bodies. We are cut off from our physiology. We have these opportunities to step in and actually do some of these things. So what I would recommend is, one, research anything Wim Hof. It's W-I-M-H-O-F. He put out a couple of books. He has his Audible, and then he has a book that's coming out in October 2020. There's also plenty of breath work that you can look up on YouTube. I know that we advocate for, you know, self-discovery and leading yourself towards a lot of those practices. And that's really a lot of what yoga is. Yoga really is activating our own self-discovery. So my recommendation would be to anybody to really ask yourself, kind of the way some of those questions of Byron Katie, like, is it true that I can or cannot heal? What really is the should or shouldn't around that? And can we step toward the possibility that there are humans out there, there are people out there are yogis and sages and plenty of people out there who are proving the norm of we're dependent on upon medicine. We're dependent upon psychiatric care. We're dependent upon pharmacology, and actually move into what can I develop within myself? So that's kind of why I wanted to bring this forward. I thought it would be a bit inspiring. I feel inspired. I ordered the Audible book called The Way of the Iceman, and I have been doing yoga in my cold-ass fucking garage, and I am working on, instead of being like, oh, I got to take out the trash, I need to put on my boots. And I'm like, I can go out barefoot. I can go out barefoot and it's going to be okay.
In the snow, you guys, by the way.
I went out barefoot in the snow.
Wow.
And pulled out my trash the other day because I really have been thinking about a lot about this. And, you know, I healed myself 6 years ago with asthma. I was sick and tired of taking all these medicines. I was sick and tired of feeling dependent upon the system to cure me. And yet what it felt like was just a band-aid on all of my symptoms. It never really felt like a cure. And when I saw Asiana and I decided to dedicate myself to the four purifications breathwork, it's not the Wim Hof method, but I'm going to search that out as well. I'm going to, and I want to bring that to the next episode and say, okay, it's been a week. Here's what I've been doing. And the reason why is because I really do believe in the human capacity. You know, the yogis have been talking about this in the ancient texts, in the Vedic texts, in the Upanishads, all of these texts that predate the Bible that state we are capable of healing ourselves. Humans have superhuman powers. If Wim Hof has shown that he doesn't develop hypothermia when the average human would, it's not like he is something special in his DNA. It's that he understands that he actually has control of his DNA. Pretty fucking awesome.
It's so amazing.
Yeah, I mean, girl.
It's true. When we as humans can learn how to integrate the body and the mind and the soul, we can
imagine what we can do.
Literally anything.
Anything. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, a lot of us, he actually says that in Goop Lab. He says, you know, why then are there more cases of anxiety? Why are there more cases of depression? Why are there more cases of people having psychotic breaks? Mm-hmm. In a day and age where we have every pharmaceutical medicine available, and our system is designed to make those medicines pretty available to almost any person because they want you to continue to take those medicines.
Yeah. It makes the money.
It does make the money. But what if we can do that for ourselves?
Yeah, and you know that we can.
So that's, I think that this is really cool.
It's a really good topic. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for both our topics. I think that this is really, this has been an opportunity for us to bring to the table, I think, all of these really heavy-handed topics around especially quarantining.
Yeah.
And dealing with our own mental illness and states and the things that we want to work through as individuals. And then we get to bring to the table, like, hey, here are some tools and opportunities. So hopefully you guys go look up Byron Katie, and hopefully you look up Wim Hof.
What's interesting is when we look at all of these ancient yoga texts that we've studied for so long, and we're seeing now, like, these things being proven,
right,
with Wim Hof, with Byron Katie, and people actually doing studies on it and proving these things that we've believed and known to be true for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything that the ancient texts have been saying. And now, you know me, I love the science.
Yeah.
The science is starting to show up.
I need proof. Show me.
I want to see.
Here it is.
Here it is. Here's the fucking proof, y'all. So, this was episode 5.
And we love you so much. Thank you for listening. Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/yogaInTheDark. Also, check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Yoga in the Dark Podcast.
Yep.
And we love you all and talk to you again soon.
We love you all so much. Please share. And if you want to support us on that Patreon, we would absolutely love your support. Know that we will continue to keep revamping any of the things that we are doing. And then any of our event pages, please seek us out and see what we're offering. Because, for example, Megan is offering a world peace meditation every Sunday through this quarantine, and it has been just a beautiful offering. We'll continue to offer things through Spotify and all the other listening platforms, and we hope to hear from you. Please don't hesitate to reach out to us on Gmail. We've already said it a few times, but we'll say it again. You can reach us at Gmail, yogaInTheDark@gmail.com.
Yeah, and we really appreciate your support. Please tell your friends if you like us. We are just starting out, so we really appreciate any support we can get. And thank you so much for listening. We love you all.
We love you.
Bye. Bye.
Every time you do that, I'm just going to cough. Because this is clearly, I think it's nerves. I start to feel nervous, and then, like, my throat coats itself in phlegm. Mm. And then it's like,
that's your nervous response? Phlegm is your nervous response?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, sorry, I'm feeling a little phlegmy. I'm going to start replacing the word nervous with phlegmy.
Phlegmy? Yeah. So if I ever come over and you're like, I'm like, oh, Holly, are you anxious today? Are you okay?
Yes,
do you need a hug?
Yes, I am.
Stuart!
Did you guys ever watch Mad TV? I've been telling my girlfriend she's like the mom from Stuart and the mom on Mad TV, and Stuart is her cat, Monroe, because Monroe's such a spoiled fucking cat.
Look what I could do! Stuart, what did I tell you about your grandfather? Stuart, put your pants back on!
My grandpa's an alcoholic.
Oh, we're gonna have to watch clips of that.
Oh, I watched a few last night.
Oh, I need that in my life.
You will,
now.
You do, you really do. Okay, moving on.
So, what?
Sorry. You're gonna have to start that whole sentence over because I burst out laughing at the same time as you.
Holly!